that occurred to me today as I was reading in Acts chapter 4 and then went back to read Acts chapter 3 because it talks about, you know, they always say something about previous things, and so you go back and you want to read what's around something. We all know about in Acts chapter 3 that was where Peter and John prayed for a man and he was healed. And then the people were, you know, they were excited, and rightly so, excited about that. But Peter took the opportunity to just bring them to the place and say, well, why are you surprised by this? As though we did this. And basically points out to them that this was common occurrence when Jesus walked the earth, and he's still walking the earth. He's still doing his thing. And, of course, it goes on with more of the response of people and the teaching. Peter took the opportunity of that to speak the truth. And we know that the truth, if we know the truth, the people, when they know the truth makes them free. And it's important to stand on the truth no matter what. You know, what does God say? And then sticking with what God says, not what anybody else can say, and not what anybody else's other experiences can say, not even what our own past experiences can say, but rather to apply the truth to today. Today, if you hear my voice, the Lord says. You know, it's very possible that we didn't always hear yesterday as well as we hear today. Or our hearts weren't as prepared to accept the truth then. Whether it's a state of desperation or a state of increased faith, the fact of the matter is that if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. So today, Jesus said, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So today is the day that we apply the truth to a situation and not allow anything else other than that which supports the truth to interfere with our understanding or with our reception of the truth. And I think, Vicki, you said you guys are going through Jerry Seville's prayer of petition. And when he talks about prayers of petition, you know, he's talking about that we want to go by the truth, that we petition God according to his truth, that there are certain things in his word that are his will. We absolutely know it without doubt. That this is what he has said, so we don't have to waver on those. Now there can be things that we ask that will be favors from God, and there are things that, you know, we could ask that may not be in his perfect plan for us. And if it's not in his perfect plan for us, well, we're asking. That's all we're doing is we're asking. And if his perfect plan is different where it comes to us individually, that's fine. We're just asking. You know, it's like saying something to someone and say, well, just thought I'd ask. Because you have not, because you ask not. There are some things that we don't know. We just don't know. We may want something that we don't know for sure, but we would certainly like to be the God's will. But when it comes to the basic things, salvation, we know there's no doubt about that. Healing, we know there's no doubt about that because he has said that. So we don't waver on the things that he has absolutely said. And so we stand on that truth. So when Peter and John said, you know, why are you surprised? Like you think we did this. We didn't do this. We just did what we were told and he did this. Now then, when you go to Acts chapter 4, and they're talking, we find that the leaders, the elders, the priests and such, are disturbed with them. Because they are suggesting that there's, in the name of Jesus, a resurrection, a life everlasting. Why does that bother them? Well, it bothers them because that's not how they saw it. They saw everlasting life in the Messiah, and they didn't see Jesus as the Messiah. So what these guys were saying was in opposition to what they thought, but it doesn't matter if it was in opposition to what they thought or not, because it was the truth. And so when they speak in Acts chapter 4, and it says in the verse 4, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. I heard once a long, long time ago, someone said Sadducees don't believe in eternal life, so that's why they're sad. It's a long, long time. So they're sad, you see. That would be sad. I mean, that was, I repeat myself, but that was something that sort of kept me hoping there was something more, because I couldn't see the little space that I actually lived as being the end of all things for a person. You know what I mean? It's like, we can't be like a bug. I mean, I don't know, there might even be bugs in heaven for all I know. They might have everlasting life, but that's not for me to decide. The leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is resurrection from the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, put them in jail until morning. And when I was reading that this morning, the Lord just put in my heart, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised at miracles. Excited, yes, but don't be surprised, because that's the business that God is in. And don't be surprised that not everybody appreciates them. Don't be surprised. We know this, but yet it still sometimes, it troubles us. Why doesn't everybody love Jesus? And we ask questions like, well, how can they be that way? And then we remember, well, we probably were that way at one time. We may have had a form of godliness, but lacking the power thereof at some time in our life. There was some time in all of our lives, there better have been a time in all of our lives, when we didn't love Jesus like we love Jesus now. We should love Jesus more today than we did yesterday. It's hard to make the comparison, but we should declare that. It's the truth. I do love Jesus more today than I loved him yesterday, because he's greater today in my life than he was yesterday. And my understanding is greater, even if I don't understand what my greater understanding is. But, we can be people in Christ, strong in the Lord, so that nothing surprises us. Those who do not love God, they grieve us. Our hearts grieve for them. Our compassion rises for them. Those who hate God, we hate the hate that they have for God. I hate the idea of people not loving God. And yet I know it's very possible, because I was one. I was never a God hater. But if I love him less, maybe it was the same. It's like I was saying earlier, when I'm in jail, I'm always singing and worshiping between troops coming in. And this an old song. I used to sing it when I was in junior high. That's where I started singing. That's where I first started picking out tunes on the piano. And I can remember in the gymnasium, there was a piano down there, and we'd sit down and I'd sing some of these old songs. And one of them was, if you ever change your mind about leaving me behind, oh, please me, bring your sweet love and bring it home to me. And I'm singing that and I'm thinking, man, this is, I think that all music is a gift from God. People just use it the wrong way. But I listened to that and I thought, God, this is God singing a love song to Israel and singing a love song to us. If you ever change your mind about leaving me behind, please me, bring your sweet love. Bring it home to me. Our love is sweet to God. It is precious to God. There's a longing in his heart for us to love him. That's why we were made. He made us so somebody would love him. Not because they had to, but because they would choose to. We bring a sacrifice of praise. That's the greatest thing we can bring to him, is praise. And is that a sacrifice? Absolutely not. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasant thing to worship God. And so these things we have, we bear these things, and these treasures and earthen vessels, we have these things. And Jesus said, okay, when you go to a place and you bless that place, if they receive your blessing, let it remain there. If they don't, kick the dust off your feet, pick up your blessing, take it off with you. Go, keep on moving. Don't be surprised. Jesus also said, hey, don't be surprised if they persecute you. Don't be surprised if they beat you. Don't be surprised if they kill you. They did it to me. Don't be surprised. Be steady. Be constant. Constant in the truth. Everything, every place is an opportunity for the truth, because the truth is a liberating thing. There's no argument against the truth. Now, people may try to argue against it, but it's a futile argument. And if there's futility coming back at you, don't be surprised. Just let it drop. It's not our calling to convince. It's our calling to make disciples. You will never convince anyone to be a disciple, but you will feed the hungry soul. Because those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. So don't be surprised when not everyone receives the message. Also, don't be surprised when somebody who you never thought would probably ever be tender-hearted receives the message. Just be prepared in season and out of season. So don't be surprised when God does amazing things, and don't be surprised when people do foolish things. It happens. It just happens. Because peoples have to set their hearts to receive. And you never know when that door is going to open. But as long as we are prepared with the truth, we'll always be ready to go through it. And so, you know, Peter and John could have been just as surprised as they were and just as excited about it and began to think that they had done something. They could have let the people convince them that they did something. But instead they said, why are you surprised? I mean, it's not like we did this. We were just following instructions. We grant you, it's amazing. It is amazing the things that God does. They could say from experience, you know, we rode around in the boat with him. We saw him calm the storms. We saw him do those things. And we were just like you. We kept, what is this? What kind of a man? He never ceased to amaze us. And sometimes we were just ignorant. And he would say, why don't you have any faith yet? Have I been with you this long and still you don't know? I mean, but we learned and we learned and we learned. And by the time he left, with just a little bit of tweaking, we suddenly understood it all. The Holy Spirit revealed it to us. And so now we're going about doing what he told us to do in the first place. The thing we're most amazed at is that it took us so long to catch on. Isn't that what we are sometimes amazed at, how long it catches us to, takes us to catch on? How suddenly things that we've been hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, and all of a sudden, boom, it's understanding. It grows up and it's like, oh, it's been there all this time. It's been like, it's been ticking. It's been ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking and ticking and ready to go off. And then suddenly, boom. Understanding comes. And when we know the truth, what happens? The truth makes us free. Suddenly, our learning curve just goes. It just goes into orbit. And it's like, wow. Wow. I always remember years ago hearing Becky Pipper share a testimony of how she would go out and they were on missions of, got to go out and give my testimony to so many people at least and try to win the lost. And then all of a sudden one time the truth just came without anything like that, and there was a harvest take place, and she said, Lord, I never knew it was so true. There are things that just make things so true. And miracles are something we should expect. We should never take them for granted. We should never think that they're not, you know, that they're not a big deal. We should make a big deal of them. We should see salvation as a, wow, that is the greatest miracle ever. It's not just ho-hum. And if we make a big deal out of that, then maybe we can bring those people's hearts to making a big deal out of now. Step into miracles. Step into signs. Step into wonders. Don't be surprised when God does things. One of my prisoners on Sunday and said I was asking him about the truth and about what we talked about, you know, about Sunday and developing good ground. And this guy said, well, I don't know why, but I've got cancer. I said, then it's time for that to be gone. And before he could come up with a, well, I don't know about that, I just said, can I pray for you? He said, yes. He was ready to receive that. And so we put it in there quick. And so we're believing for him to be healed. And had another guy that sat there, and I was telling him, you know, good ground. It'll change. You make good ground for the Word of God. Don't do me any good. Won't do me any good. I said, I rebuke that, Satan. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And the guy looked at me and I said, I'm not rebuking you. I'm rebuking the devil because he's stealing from you. He can't steal from you anymore. Today you're going to believe that these words can change your life. His whole countenance changed. He just sat back and became a sponge. He no longer was doubting anything about him. But, you know, and there was a place for those. And those are like, they're large but miniature miracles. They're just the truth setting people free. And this is what, when we are confident in the truth, then that's what we'll do with the truth. The truth isn't religious. The truth is just the truth. There wasn't a religious thing about Jesus. I mean, Jesus just blew everything that was religious out of water. That's why they were disturbed with these guys, because they were saying that this Jesus who walked on everything that they held dear, because the truth was greater than what they had, and now they're saying that he was who he said he was. They didn't want him to be who he said he was, but they couldn't stop him from being who he said he was. And they went on to say, there's no other name. I had a guy on Sunday also say, what about all those people that die and they don't know Jesus? I said, that's a bad deal, because the Bible says there's salvation and no other name than Jesus. So for those who say, well, what about this and what about that? I can't help it. The truth says Jesus is the only way. If you want to risk it, go ahead. You know, if you want to drive 95 miles an hour from here to Sioux Falls, go ahead. But you're risking paying a big fine. You're going to risk it. Because the truth is going to cost you money. The truth is that the speed limit sign is marked, and if you get caught, you're going to pay the fine. Well, if somebody thinks that they can enter eternity without Jesus and enter into arrest, they're wrong. And they will get caught. That won't be good. But we don't want anybody to get caught. We would that no one perish. That's God's desire. So we know that's true. And that's just a simple truth. But a profound truth. And so we should never be surprised. We should always be ready. And that's what the Lord, we're in that place. I just read something by someone about, you know, the 11th hour believers. And these are people who have gone through life, and suddenly the truth sets them free. And they've already got most of their life behind them, or they've got their life established behind them. And now all of a sudden they're understanding that God is in. And this particular one, it's a devotional from a group of Releasing Kings. And they're talking about the kingly ministry and about the numbers of the wealth that has been built up by people who didn't know Jesus suddenly coming to know Jesus. And that wealth being transferred, and now these people come in, and all of a sudden they've got all this other expertise that enabled them to be successful, and now Jesus. And so then their success is expanding, growing larger, and they are just weapons against darkness. You know, and it's just the parable of the people who worked all day, and then, you know, some who started out got paid the same as some who came in at the end. And those who are hungry for the Lord, those who are coming into truth, the great expansion and the explosion of the Word upon their lives. So at whatever place that we come into, whatever truth it is, it's suddenly a time for harvest. So truths that we haven't grasped and haven't walked in previously, when we know the truth makes us free. And now all of a sudden, we are dangerous to darkness with that truth. We are ready to ramble in the truth. And so where we believed, you know, that yes, God can heal, but we maybe weren't as bold with just laying hands on people to heal them, now all of a sudden, we're not going to be surprised when people get well. We'll be surprised when they don't. Because there must be a reason that they didn't take what God gave them, because we know that God gave them what they want. And we're not going to be surprised when people reject it. But that's, we can't put our focus on those that reject it. We got to put our focus on those that accept it. And feed those that are hungry. And maybe then those that have rejected it will see, wow. Man, look what they were talking about is doing for their life. Or maybe I shouldn't have been so quick to just reject that. How many people, I've said, man, if only when I went to college I'd have taken money I had saved for college and bought Super 8 stock, because it was like chicken feed on the streets in Aberdeen, South Dakota. People were selling on street corners. Or Dickie's uncle who got in at Home Depot when it was a penny stock. And you think, wouldn't I like to have had $10,000 worth of penny stock in something that doubled, tripled, quadrupled, and, you know? I mean, you know, what if? Well, the thing is that we have this truth that is just ready to burst forth. And as we hunger for it, then that truth comes and it's ready to accomplish the will of God according to the faith that it's loosed with. What a time for the truth to just override everything else that's going on in our world. What a time for God to be doing the impossible for His people in the midst of confusion and chaos everywhere else. What a time for people to see the Lord, see that bright light shining of God. So I just encourage you, be anticipating the signs and wonders of God. Don't be surprised by them. Be amazed by them, but don't be surprised. Just keep adding to them. And don't be caught up or brought down or allow your faith to dwindle because of what you see as setbacks around you. Because those things, they may come along later. But if that's all we focus on, they stop us. When Jesus told the disciples, you go to a place, if they receive your peace, stay there. But if they don't receive your peace, don't sit there wasting your time. Move on to something that will receive your peace. Maybe they'll follow you along and see what exactly is going on. What do you do? What do you do?